The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Waiting for the last possible second.
That's right. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning. I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing good.
Are you sure you're doing good?
I am.
Are you always good?
I think so, pretty much.
Why? When you're in front of the microphone, you're always good.
And when the mic's on, yeah. Everything's cool.
Big JD is...
Once it's off, the whole world goes to pot.
I know. You're turned into a different person.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
No, I'm the same person.
JD is cold, tired, and hungry.
I'm hungry.
Begging for bread. The lady took him in and fed him breakfast in bed.
What is that?
Wasn't me.
Kind of children's book?
No, it's Chuck
Golden,
Berry.
Golden, what are those books? The Golden Books?
Remember Golden those? Books, I think so, yeah.
Hey, big thing for kids.
It was a big thing for kids. Is that how you learned to read?
I did have Golden Books.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I remember the Cookie Monster book. I forget what it's called. There's a monster under my bed, I think it was called.
I was going to say, it's not the Cookie Monster.
Grover. It was Grover from...
Sesame Street.
Yes.
Well, that's not the Golden Books I'm thinking of.
Well, Golden Books were a publishing company or something, and they had all kinds of
Oh, maybe. Of and books. They had the... when you put them on the shelf, they were gold on the outside.
I think they did have a gold... Yeah. Spine.
That's it. Gold Spine.
Yeah. We have those too.
Gold Spine.
Big JD and Lippo. Gold Spine rock and roll.
How come that girl I was with last night said you have no spine? And you're telling me I have a gold spine. That almost sounds ethnic. Gold Spine.
Oh, it's like last name. It's Jewish.
It's somewhat Jewish.
Oh, that's Goldstein.
It's old Goldstein or Goldenstein.
Speaking of Steins.
Yes?
We got tea. Oh, we had tea.
We have tea and Steins.
The tea is finished pre-show.
Yeah, we had a big pre-show just to make sure that this episode was going to be totally fantastic.
By the time the pre-show thing was done, we could have been done the show, I think.
Maybe. That's possible. So what's going on with you? You working? You shooting any videos? Promos?
Everything, yeah.
Everything you're doing?
All of the above.
You're doing everything.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy, yeah.
I noticed that the living room is full of...
gear.
Lots of gear. Yeah. Some trucks and tripods and cans and pars and all kinds
and
of
I
stuff.
And I just cleaned it all up and it's all just festered with stuff again.
What you say? You put it away?
Oh, a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Like you need a place where that stuff is just readily available to you. Just pull.
Yeah,
off
I know.
The wall
and it's here. It's all ready. A lot of it's readily available here. Some of it's in storage downstairs, and some in an actual storage unit. So yeah, there's junk everywhere.
You need to relocate?
Yeah, we've been looking into it.
All right.
I don't know what's going to happen, but something will happen.
Maybe someone listening will have a spot for you.
A spot in their heart for me.
Yes, possibly.
You never know what you're going to get.
You never know. Robert Plant responded to Jimmy Page's comments that he was fed up.
Oh, I thought you were going to say fangala.
No, just fed up with Mr. Plant's holding back a Led Zeppelin reunion, telling reporters at a press conference he thought the guitarist needed to have a good rest. I think he needs to go to sleep and have a good rest and think again. We have a great history together, and like all brothers... Oh, brother, we have moments where we don't speak on the same Page. But that's life, says the frontman of Led Zeppelin. He's currently on the road with his band, the Inspirational Space Shifters. But talk of the Led Zeppelin reunion, which has been hot and heavy since they're coming out with those remasters, right?
Oh, yeah.
That has been ramped up. And when they got the Kennedy Awards there, the Kennedy, whatever that was, when Hart sang Led Zeppelin, I forget what exactly what
did that you like was. That?
I loved it. Yeah. Made Robert Plant cry. He liked it so much. But anyway, he said after that event that he was free in 2014. Like, free, yeah, what about a Led Zeppelin reunion? And he said, well, I'm free in 2014. But obviously, he's not free. And apparently, he has come up with, he's recorded another solo album, which would be the first one since 2010. It's really a celebratory record, very crunchy and gritty, very West African and massive attacky. I'm not sure it would sound all right on NPR, but the LP doesn't have a title yet, and it's set for release on September the 9th. So there's your fix of Led Zeppelin. You got a story?
Yeah, just a little something here, I guess, that James Hetfield came under some fire regarding the fact that he likes to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
His support for hunting.
What does he hunt?
Where does he hunt?
No, what does
he hunt? In the woods.
Where? What does he hunt?
I don't know. Kodiak brown bear?
Okay. I thought he might be hunting guys named Mike.
He's got something to do with, I want to say it's a show. Let's see. As was previously reported, Hetfield recently signed on to narrate an upcoming History Channel series titled The Hunt. So, I don't know what the big deal is, really. Whether he hunts or he's narrating a show or whatever, like, it's a sport.
Yes, it is. Paul McCartney has rescheduled the U.S. tour dates he had originally scheduled to begin in mid-June for October. His Out There tour will now resume in Albany on July 5th, if he's well enough to do that. The former Beatle is still recuperating from the virus that forced him to postpone several dates in Japan and South Korea. So supposedly he's ready to start the U.S. tour on the day after Independence Day in Albany, New York. All right. Do you have any other news?
No, I'm good.
That was awesome.
I blew the wad.
Big JD was all on the news scene this week. This week, what we're talking about, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about locational music.
Yes, it's going to be a recurring theme on the Big JD and Lipo.
We're going to shoot for 10 a year.
10 a year, that's a good idea, yeah.
So that's once a month.
That's a lot.
We're actually coming up with a lot of things that we're going to do once a month. So
we can only come up with four things.
That's right.
Or five. And then we'd skip a month here and there, depending on what the topic is. But this week, we're talking about music coming out of Detroit.
Right.
It's a mecca of sorts, I would have to say. It's right up there with, you know, Los Angeles, Vancouver, Nashville, London. It's right up there.
It's the only true rock city, right?
Oh, no, Cleveland is.
Oh, Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland is the Rock City. That's where they put the Hall of Fame. Why do you think that?
Is there any song called Cleveland Rock City? No.
No Cleveland Rock City, but there's a song called Cleveland Rocks.
Okay.
Actually,
do you remember a band called Cleveland or something? And they did, I want to say that they did, it was like that legacy band or something, and they did everybody like they were impersonators. Do you remember that at all?
And they were called Cleveland?
I think so, yeah.
Boy.
We'll have to look for that sometime. When we do Cleveland.
We're going to do Cleveland.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are. We're going to do it from the Hard Rock Cafe in Cleveland.
You want to record a show there?
Okay.
Or do you want to do it from the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. What did I say? Hard Rock?
Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, yeah. Hall of Fame, yeah.
I believe
you've been there. Haven't you?
A few times, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. It's an okay place. It's small.
Anything special in there?
Oh, there's different exhibits that always
make their way around the country.
I don't know if they actually start there, but you know they'll pick a person and then or a band, whatever, and then they'll have a very showcased exhibit based on that band. I think when I went there was one on U2, and then Tom Petty, another one. It's not coming to me right off the top of my head, but...
Okay, it's not interesting me that much.
Going to the Rock Hall of Fame?
No, no.
What do you want to see?
I don't know. Some other bands. Stuff.
Okay.
Other band exhibits. Where they have Bono's t-shirt and stuff on display.
Nice. Stuff like that, yeah. Exactly. And Edge's pick.
Oh, nice.
No, they had all kinds of stuff there. And it's like a... All those big showcased exhibits are very interactive, and you can listen to music and get stuff the way you want it. All right, that's Iggy Pop from the... That's the remix version of Raw Power, right?
Yeah.
I just learned something today that Raw Power was produced by David Bowie. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, David Bowie had his fingers in the original Raw Power.
I know they were remixed. They're really good friends, I know that. And is Iggy as big as he is because of David
Iggy
Bowie?
Iggy was as big as he was because of steroids.
He was on steroids, eh? That's too bad. But
yeah, he got all buffed up at one point.
Yeah, he was well defined. Let's put it that way.
He always was. Yeah, he was a skinny guy.
Skinny guy,
and only 5'1". Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
But he can do anything,
including cut himself with glass.
Yes, and swallow all kinds of stuff.
Whoa, that's broader than the scope of this show.
Yeah, But why would you say that the Stooges were as big as they were when they came out? Just the sound was unique.
And yeah, something new, I guess. They're just, you know, possibly at the right, you know, came out at the right time in the right place, and you know.
I just wonder what Bowie's influence on that whole scene was.
I don't know what his influence was on the scene, or maybe he just influenced Iggy Pop. I don't really know what the story is there, quite honestly. But I know that they, somebody was trying to sing like somebody. I guess Bowie was around longer, earlier. But
yeah, but I think Bowie always was try to go from one thing to the next. He was never the same from one album
yeah,
to the
no.
next. He always tried to change it up. I'm assuming
But he and Iggy, for at some point in time, yeah, I think had those he was low turned voice on, thing. You know
yeah, I mean? I think he was turned on to Iggy. Iggy and yeah. then he you know tried to encapsulate or incorporate.
Both innovators, that. Though.
Oh, for sure.
In their own, you know.
I love Bowie, for sure. And I love, Iggy, too. Iggy's...
Bowie, I could live without Bowie.
No,
but I can't live without Iggy Pop.
Can't live without David Bowie. what else are we going to talk about on the show, or do you want to get into another tune? We got a bunch of music.
Yeah, let's play some more music. Why not? Local Detroit band called Dixie Hustler.
How do you know these
guys?
My
friend Darren Anderson, who was in a punk band in Detroit, turned me on to Dixie Hustler at some point when they only had a demo out, and it was downloadable like just for free off their website or whatever, and then they eventually put out the record, but it's really cool stuff. Great Detroit rock and roll.
It's just Detroit rock and roll. That's how you would describe it.
Yeah, Southern rock meets Detroit.
Hence the Dixie.
Yeah.
What do we listen to?
Chevy Sister on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning.
Driving hard by
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Yes, Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. And we're talking about local Detroit music, artists, bands. I almost said Detroit rock and roll, but it's not only rock and roll.
Heck no. There was an amazing blues scene before they basically ran the I-75 right down the middle of it, the middle of Detroit, that is, and it basically segregated the white people from the black people. And there was a street in Detroit known as Hastings Street. Are mm-hmm. you familiar with Hastings Street? Ever hear
I
that?
I am.
And it was there that there was a very vibrant blues music scene. And once they put the freeway to get downtown, it basically steamrolled Hastings Street altogether. And there was not enough uprising or whatever you want to call it to actually prevent that from happening. All the big money, which was car companies and stuff, they wanted to make sure they had a robust mode of transportation to get the parts in and get the cars out and stuff like that. So they didn't really care what the lowly folks on Hastings Street were thinking. But one of the dudes that was on Hastings Street was John Lee Hooker. He was one of those guys who was, he was like a Detroit celebrity amongst the people who were into blues music back in the day. So he obviously influenced a ton of people. If you listen to, three or four John Lee Hooker tunes, you'll find a lot of references that you're familiar with newer bands that were also blues-based. ZZ Top, George Thorogood. And for the most
part, Who's Who of Blues played Hooker tunes.
Who did?
The Who's Who of Blues.
The Who's Everybody. Who of Blues, yeah. A lot of white guys played.
Like that, though, eh? The Who's Who of Blues.
Yeah, including The Who.
Yeah.
In the early days, they were a very bluesy type band. And his guitar style is what was so striking to me. It was so simple. I think he tuned to an E, an E chord, and he just played blues licks. And it was kind of like a drone, almost, of this E. And he always sang not too many different keys. Mm-hmm. If you listen to it, you notice there's a lot of keys reoccur. And a lot of that was even picked up by guitar players who, wanted to sound as bluesy as they possibly could. And why don't we play a John Lee Hooker tune?
Okay.
Crawling Kingsnake?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Crawling Kingsnake, baby, and I rose my den. You know my crawling Kingsnake, baby, and I rose my den. Don't you hang around my maid. Wanna use her for myself. You know you caught me crawling, baby, when the grass was very high. I'm just gonna keep on crawling now, baby, until the day I die. Become a crawling Kingsley, baby. You hang around my mate. Wanna use her for myself. You know I'm gonna crawl up to your window, baby. Wanna crawl up to your door. You got anything I want, baby. Wanna crawl up on your floor. Because I'm a crawling Kingsnake, baby. And I when I roll my day. Gonna keep on crawling now, baby, until the day I die, because my crawling can't snake, baby. And I rose my day. Don't want you hanging around my maid.
John Lee Hooker on The Morning Show. And when we come back, more Detroit music. Big JD and Lippo magically appear again.
We are back.
Lippo said it's like a magic show.
It is. Detroit has produced some of the most famous gospel singer in past decades. In the 40s, there was Oliver Green. He formed the Detroiters.
Oh, Ollie Green, yeah.
Who became one of the most popular gospel groups of their era. In the 50s, there was Laura Lee and a young Della Reese. Do you remember Della Reese? I did not realize she...
I was introduced to her on Sanford and Son.
Was she on Sanford and Son?
Oh, yeah.
Della Reese.
Yeah. Oh, no, maybe not.
Okay.
But she was the angel thing, right?
Yes, she was angel thing.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
That's exactly who she was.
But she might have been on the Sanford and Son.
Well, she may have. I don't know. In the 80s, the Winans dynasty produced Grammy winners CC and BB Winans and other notable gospel acts, Bill Moss and the Celestials, the brother of Maddie and Moss Clark. The Clark sisters, and
didn't Vanessa. We talk about these? No, no. Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else.
Okay,
who was it? I'm thinking of with the. We talked about Eric Clapton before with the some old people that I didn't know who they really were that he played with in the past. Remember? For some reason,
that rings a bell. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Then there's the pop music that came out of Detroit. There was, of course, Madonna was probably one of the bigger pop artists to come out of Detroit. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can say the Jacksons were out of Detroit once they moved here from, I believe it was Indiana. They moved up here and recorded all their stuff at the Motown studios. And then there's all the Motown acts, which I don't know where you want to put that. That's the R&B and soul.
Put that in R&B and soul.
The Supremes, Smokey Robinson, The Miracles, Four Tops, Martha Reeves, Vandellas, Edwin
Starr. That's just a ridiculous amount of great talent. How did that ever happen? All from Detroit. Is there any place else that even happened in the United States?
To get all that talent?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they're all from Detroit?
Pretty much. All that music came out of Detroit. Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, Marvin Gaye. It's insane.
That is, man.
Wilson Pickett, Jackie Wilson, if I haven't already mentioned him. Capitals. Parliament Funkadelic. They were from Detroit?
Parliament, yeah. I didn't know. I didn't really know that.
I didn't realize that myself. In 67, Berry Gordy purchased what is now known as the Motown Mansion in Detroit's Boston Edison Historical District. Have you ever been to the Motown Studios?
No, I haven't.
We should go
there. That'd be cool. Have you been there?
No.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I mean, I feel like I...
Remember, we record something.
Record something there.
Yeah, while we're eating lunch outside on the lawn.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do the show from there. Bring our guitars and stuff. Well, you can. I'll watch.
I'll buy a ukulele.
Unless I learn a chord by then.
You don't know any chords?
No.
I don't know no codes. Who said that?
Probably me.
B.B. King.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't do any chords. He
doesn't play too many chords. That was on Rattle and Hum.
I like that, too.
I thought you didn't like U2.
No, I don't mind U2. I just
don't make me go to see their exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
that's pushing things. Rock and roll in Detroit, 50s, 60s, 70s. Let's talk about that. So I can finally say Detroit rock and roll. When we come back, we'll talk about Detroit rock and roll.
Sounds good.
And we're back.
Awesome.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Now we're really back. Where did we go anyway?
Well, we did some secret things. Nobody knows what we do when we go away.
Detroit has a long and rich history associated with rock and roll. In 54, there's Hank Ballard and the Midnighters. They crossed over from the R&B charts to the pop charts with Work With Me, Annie.
And that's where they came up with the rock and roll ballad originated.
Rock and roll
ballad. Yeah, you know, a mellow song.
Yeah.
Rock a ballad.
The ballad. Detroit.
That's a bird, isn't it?
A mallard.
Oh, okay.
It's a duck. In 1955, Detroit native Bill Haley.
I thought he was from
Cleveland.
Huh? See? So much for Cleveland.
Yeah, so much for them. Detroit native Bill Haley ushered in the rock and roll era with the release of Rock Around the Clock.
And then he dated 13-year-olds.
That was a common thing, I think. He got turned on to that by Jerry Lee Lewis, didn't he?
Oh, was...
I don't know. I know Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of, I guess.
Dated a really young
person. Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking it was Bill Haley, but sorry, Bill.
It could have been him, though.
No, it wasn't.
You're thinking Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. And then, of course, there's Bill Wyman. Mm-hmm. He hooked up with a 13-year-old.
And he was the drummer from the Rolling Stones.
Not the drummer. He's the bass player.
Yeah, the bass player.
But that's freaky. Her name was Mandy, I remember. Because that's my brother's daughter's name is Mandy.
Hmm.
And they got married when she was like 15 or 16 years old.
Who was it that's bailed on the Stones early? It was the drummer, though, wasn't it?
No.
Was it Wyman?
Wyman, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's the guy who bailed, basically.
Yeah.
One guy died, and another guy got kicked out, and then Bill Wyman, way later, got out. He had enough.
Yeah. It's tough playing the bass. Four whole strings. And
they're big strings, though.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
Did you ever see his hands, though?
He had tiny little hands.
I don't know.
Tiny little girls.
Jesus.
Who have tiny little body parts. Never mind. Let's play some more music. What do we got on tap?
Ted Nugent from the first Ted Nugent solo album after the Amboy Dukes, Queen of the Forest.
Yeah.
one Ted of my Nugent. Favorite tunes of all time was that tune. I cranked that thing so loud in my house in front of the mirror with my SG copy in my hand, and I sang that thing full.
You had an SG copy?
I had an SG copy, Camaro.
That's pretty cool.
I still have the actual body of the guitar at my house.
That's really cool.
With the headstock broken off.
I want to play some Halloween.
How do you know Halloween?
Detroit heavy metal band.
How do you know those guys?
I don't know. They were playing in Detroit back in the day when we were jamming all over the place in Wicked Angel, and we played with them a lot in and out of Detroit. And
did you tell them they had a sucky name, that they were only really popular around October?
It was a cool name.
Halloween?
Halloween. Well,
it was
cool.
A holiday.
Cool.
Why don't you call yourself it Christmas? Yeah.
But because the nature, of the you beast. Know, due to the type of music that they played and their big Halloween heavy metal horror show and everything,
it all just
fit in and work. But yeah, Halloween was the big thing.
They should call.
And we played on Halloween with them and stuff.
Did you really on a Halloween show?
Because mm-hmm.
that was the big thing when Halloween played in Detroit on Halloween. It was like
we probably did that more than once. But I recall one particular time at the Capitol Theater in Flint, Michigan.
Oh yeah,
it was a good time. Lots of people. I'm going to say maybe 1,500. It was cool. Something like a Harpo's type thing, but everybody's down at the front of the stage.
Right,
it was really cool.
That's very engaging.
So yeah, Halloween, and somebody I was going out with at the time, her roommate was going out with Brian, the singer from Halloween.
Oh, too. There you so, go. Okay.
You know, there's another little
It's all who you know, right?
It is, yeah. It's all about the network.
Have you ever hooked up with any of your old American girlfriends?
Yeah, all the time.
No, I mean, no, of course up. Not. I don't mean hook up. I mean, like, see him on Facebook, I guess is what I'm really saying. Hey.
Not really, no.
Jeff, how you doing? What's going on?
Well, my name isn't my name on Facebook either, as you know.
Oh, that's right. So that's a
good
way
to find me.
That's a good way to do it, I guess. To have a little alias. But anyway, we're going to play some Halloween, aren't we?
Yeah.
And this tune is?
Scared to Death.
That was a weird echo.
Old school metal.
Yeah, that's old
from
school.
From the 80s.
Yep.
That's good guitar player, man. A good drummer. Bass player, nothing to write home about, but, you know, he was, like, good and solid and whatever. But,
sure. He's only a bass player.
The drummer was really good.
It's only four strings.
Bill White and Rick Craig, the guitar player, was really, really good. Really cool guitar player, man. Good style.
Heavy. What school of guitar playing was he? Would he be from like the Yngwie style?
No, more like a Randy Rhoads kind of thing.
Yeah. Back in the day, if you were in a metal band and you were a guitar player, you had to shred.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it was a little less about tone. You just had the Marshall and your Les Paul, or
if it was fast and
Kramer, you know, or whatever kind of guitar you're playing.
And you
got
shred.
You got your 8 strings on, and I mean your size 8. Like,
I was going
to
say
number 8. I guess is what I'm really actually trying to say. So that's cool that you were playing in clubs with bands like Halloween and Seduce, and
we played a lot of Detroit bands.
That's very
Weapons.
Cool.
Remember them?
No.
I think with Gunnar Ross or whatever his name was. You remember that guy?
I remember Gunnar
Ross.
Drummer.
Well, he played with Nugent too.
That's why I've.
Who else we play from Detroit? Lots of other bands. I can't remember half of them. And plus, we played with some national acts in Detroit, but a lot of cool Detroit bands. There was a lot of good bands back then too. I mean, I imagine there are now, but times are different. The music's different. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was really cool metal.
Yeah, these days it's just not the same. You bring your computer to your gig and you're ready to go.
Another band we briefly mentioned that I played a number of shows with, Seduce. One of my favorite bands, period, really. But a cool Detroit band.
Were they something, Seduce?
Yeah, they were in that movie, Decline of the Western Civilization.
Oh, is that right?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And they got signed to a major label. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember, but they got signed to a major label and put out another album that didn't really do anything. It wasn't really like their first stuff. Somebody overproduced them and stuff like that. It was cool, but the first one was really cool. It
wasn't really them.
And they did some cool cover tunes too, actually. They played covers once in a while, and they did like The Slider.
Type T-Rex.
Yeah, and they did another, I think they might have done Bang a Gong too, but some other cool stuff. Monkeys, Stepping Stone. They did some pretty cool tunes. They did that tune, Homicide.
Really?
909.
Is that who that was?
Yeah. And this is Seduce from their first album, and the song's called Love to Hate. We'll be right back.
but we're just talking about Detroit rock and roll. Like, there's so many acts that came out of Detroit in the 70s that were not even...
This is like a four-parter or something.
Yeah, it could be a mini-part. We're just basically skimming the iceberg. Of course, there's Bob Seger. I mean, you can't deny...
God, old Bob Seger is great,
you can't deny the talent that's there. Brownsville Station, remember
those
Bob guys?
Seger System?
Bob
Seger System. That was the old band, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 2+2 is on my mind.
Is it?
Not really.
You saying you want to have a foursome?
Foursome.
Listen, folks, don't foursome.
Whoa. And then there's newer bands like, you know, Kid Rock and Eminem.
Eminem, yeah. Love Eminem, yeah.
But you like Smarties, too.
Smarties are all American.
They're not.
No, Lippo says Smarties aren't in America.
Can't get them in the States.
I don't believe it.
Well, we got
to
go.
I know we could go to a store over there and buy Smarties, and they're going to be a bigger pack than you could get here, too.
If they did sell Smarties,
everything's bigger in the U.S.
They would be a bigger pack, and it'd be cheaper than the smaller package of M&Ms over here.
It'd be 3-for-1.
Probably, yeah.
America rocks.
Detroit rocks.
It does.
Then there's the songs that are written about Detroit. There's Detroit Rock City, yeah.
What else is there?
Panic in Detroit.
Oh, Panic in Detroit, yeah. Detroit, you're my home. What's that? That's old Romantics.
Yes.
But it's not, doesn't have Detroit in the title. But
no.
Detroit is probably in a lot of lyrics, that's for sure.
Yes, dancing in the
Detroit
streets.
Detroit City, the place to be. Mad Dog Town, gonna set you free. Night.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
So I guess that's the end of the show, though.
Yeah, we can't. We want to keep it around an hour, but obviously we went over this week.
And what do we got for the fine folks next week on the show?
Nothing quite as light as this week's show. Because this week's show, there's just so much content that you could...
Yeah, and we played a little extra music this week, too, because there's so much great Detroit music.
Yeah, and there's tons of music.
And we actually played all heavy stuff, really, didn't we? Well, maybe not. Hooker is quite as heavy, but...
It's heavy.
Crawling
Crawling Kingsnake is pretty heavy.
But I'm just saying, I mean, there's some lighter stuff that we didn't play. We didn't play any Motown.
No Motown, you know. Yeah. Didn't play any Delarice.
Well, we're doing just genre shows, too, right?
Right.
So we can do a Motown show at some point. R&B, you know.
Obviously, we're going to have a Motown show. Mm-hmm. That's going to be huge. But next week, Origins of Music.
Yeah.
Get your textbooks out, Big JD.
Textbooks?
Yeah, from your music class that you took over in your school.
Where did music come from?
We'll find out that answer next week.
Next week it is.
And to sign us off, we're going to play what tune from Grand Funk?
It's Black Licorice from the American Band album.
Awesome album. Awesome, awesome tune. Enjoy, people, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Don't touch me, oh, I know.
Join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.